Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
I'll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Monday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us. Bob Kelly, Demuth, full crews here. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio in beautiful Oak Grove. I'm looking out the window, guys. Not a cloud in the sky.
And I think midweek the temperatures are only supposed to be in the upper 60s.
But give me a little taste of fall in there, and it can't come soon enough. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Talking about good things. That food's always good. 7 days a week, you can cater your homecoming tailgate this weekend. Dickey's would be the perfect people to call. Kelly and I have used them a lot in catering and never been disappointed. The food's always good. And what a better guy, man, than the guys that run Dickey's and Fuzzy's Tacos. We thank the world of the guys. All right, Monday, that means we talked to head football coach Will Hall on the eve of a 38-21 loss to Louisiana Monroe. Golden Eagles fall to 1-5 on the year.
Hey, Coach, I just had I guess my first question is, you know, everybody had their versions on how this season would go. You know, at this juncture in the season, you're sitting here at 1-5. Are you kind of stunned and shocked, I guess, at the way the season has gone so far?
Well, I'm not happy about it. I'm certainly disappointed about it, Dima. And I guess when you're in the middle of the fight and you're in the middle of the season, if you will, you know, you're concentrating on addressing issues as they come up and functioning and focusing on getting better. And, so, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to work extremely hard to get better. We're back at home this week for homecoming and working hard to try to get that win. You know, because, you know, the last 2 weeks specifically been a one-score game in the fourth quarter, and we've kind of fallen apart versus two teams that are combined, I think, 10-2. You know, so we're right there, but we got to get over that hump. And, you know, we've got to coach a little bit better. We've got to play a little bit better. And that's certainly the things we're working hard to try to get done. But I don't know if shocked or whatever. I don't know, man, when you coach and play football – for a long time, you know, you can see a lot of different things, but I am disappointed. You know, I think everybody in the building is disappointed that we haven't played better, haven't been able to produce a better result than what we have so far. But we're also very driven and focused on improving and trying to get that win to get us over this hump right here.
One of the key statistics, Coach, that jumped out to me on the game on Saturday is the inefficiency on third down. I think one for 13. What are you and your coaches, what can you guys do to for that specific statistic, which with all due respect has not been very good all year, our third down efficiency. So what do we do to get that turned around?
Yeah, I know. You know, Kelly, it's like you could record you saying that, and then you could just hit play each week and ask me each week. That's been something we've been terribly disappointed about. A lot of different scenarios right there. Number one, we got to throw a little bit better. Number two, we got to catch a little bit better, and we got to get into some better third down scenarios to help that. And you know, we had some balls hit us in the hands that we didn't come down with. We had some throws that we missed. And then, you know, we were in third and long a little too much, even though we did run the ball pretty effective on a really good defensive football team. I think we had, you know, yards per play-wise, we had the second-best offensive performance on them, you know, of anybody they've played this year. But we've got to get the ball in the end zone more, you know. We've got to do that more. We got to function better across the board. And, you know, third down has really killed us offensively, and it's also killed us defensively. It's plagued us all year. Something we're obviously, we know, we talk about it each week. We're putting a lot of time into, but we just haven't gotten better in that phase. And it's a point of emphasis again. We continue to work hard on it, but we got to get it done.
Late in the week, you made you announced. It was really kind of under wraps that Ethan Crawford was going to get the start on Saturday. Tell us what factors went into making that decision.
Just the way he played specifically versus South Florida. You know, when he came in versus South Florida, and then the plays he made versus Southeastern Louisiana, just felt like our whole team and the energy and enthusiasm of our team changed when he was in the game. And, you know, that's really when he won the job, was the South Florida game. But he got banged up and hurt. So, you know, he came back last week. He wasn't all the way 100%. Y'all could tell that. But our team really believes in him. He brings a lot of energy to our team, a lot of confidence. And there's some things he can do better. He'll certainly tell you that. Being a little bit rusty, I think you'll see extreme improvement from him going into this week, with it being his second start. And he's going to be more healthy. He's going to be almost 100% now. And, you know, I think you'll see continued growth, you know, right there from him.
Well, analyze his play Saturday, Coach, because that's the first time in some time we've seen him really get on the field and not, you know, not come in and out of the game. So break down what you thought of his first, I guess, full game since the end of last year.
Yeah. You know, Bob, you could tell he wasn't all the way 100% with his running ability. You know, he's a little more explosive when he's 100% than what he was. He still ran the ball effectively, but not quite like, you know, Dima comes to practice a lot. I think Dima would tell you he wasn't quite all the way Ethan. I think you'll see, you know, all the way Ethan this week or pretty much close to it. His eyes danced a little bit in the pocket. He didn't always have his eyes right, you know, on his progressions in the passing game. He made some throws that should have been caught, some big plays. You know, we had some deep balls that hit our receivers' hands, and we've got to come down with them. Some of them would have been contested catches, but we got to make those plays. You know, we got to start making some of those plays if we're going to win a big game on the road, you know, versus a good football team and a really good defense. And we can make those plays. You know, I've been saying that, but we can. I see us do it all the time. We've got to do it on Saturday. But we believe in Ethan. I think you'll see some more growth in him this week. And, you know, I think he'll play a better game this week.
Coach, what do you do with a football team, yours in particular, but any football team that's just struggling like this? What do you say and do with your kids every day to keep their morale up and to keep their spirits high?
Well, there's only one way to live life, and that is, you know, never stop doing what is right, and you'll reap the harvest on his time, not our time, right? Mm-hmm. And the things we're not doing correctly, we've got to continue to address and fix. But the things we are doing correctly, we've got to continue to hold on to and keep pushing and improving. You know, we put ourselves in position in the fourth quarter versus some good football teams this year to make plays, to have opportunities to make plays to win games. And we just haven't done that. We've kind of self-destructed. We were talking the other day, you know, we don't hit a pothole. We step on a dang landmine. You know, I mean, it's 17-14 in the fourth quarter the week before versus Louisiana. You know, the South Florida game, they're close games in the fourth quarter, and we self-destruct. We got to keep, you know, doing what we're supposed to do from a work standpoint, from an approach standpoint. We know what winning looks like. And, we've got to continue to coach these players and get them to understand it and believe in it. And then we just need to make a play, Bob. You know, it's really that simple. I mean, like, we just need to make one big catch. We need to make, you know, we cut it to 17-14, and we have two guys miss tackles out on the perimeter, and they take a check down 50 yards. You know, if we get that guy down right there, it's just to be 2nd and 8. And we're probably going to get the ball back at midfield. Those are plays we just got to get to where we make. And then the only thing I know to tell you, man, like anybody that's in a hard spot, you get out of a hard spot by continuing to do what's right over and over again, and eventually you dig yourself out of it.
I guess when you look at that game on Saturday, I just don't. I'm sure you're probably with me. You know, how does it just, you know, avalanche so quickly, as you're saying, 17-14 entering the fourth quarter, and then, I mean, within, you know, 6 minutes into the fourth quarter, the game's pretty much over.
Yeah. Yeah. It's disappointing. And we had our opportunities, you know, right there, Dima. You know, and our players know that. And, you know, we, like I said, they throw a check down in the flat. We have two guys converge on him. We actually have three guys converge on him. One guy misses the tackle. The other two kind of run into each other. And then all of a sudden it's a 50-yard gain on a check down. And we get the ball back, and we throw a corner route that's a little bit high. We could have thrown a better throw, but it also hit our receiver in the hand. So just a little bit better throw or a good catch. And we're rolling on first down. We've got an explosive play, and we're out and rolling and moving to get it back to a one-score game. But we don't make that tackle. We don't make that pass completion, and now we're punting, and then they drive and score again, and the game, you know, like you said, gets out of reach.
We're talking to head football coach Will Hall on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Hey, don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. More with Coach Hall, other side of a very short 3-minute break. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, second segment of our show every day is sponsored by Campus Book Mart and Miss Kathleen down there on Hardy Street. You can shop them online at campusbookmart.net. You can go in and pick out your own apparel. They got everything for your car, for your home. If there's an eagle on your Christmas list, well, it's a no-brainer. Campus Book Mart, Hardy Street. Be sure to tell Miss Kathleen that the guys on the Eagle Hour said hello. Still to come, Lee Roberts, but want to continue our conversation as we do every Monday with head football coach Will Hall. All right, Coach, I don't guess I've asked you this. I mean, let's put the X's and O's aside. I know that there's a lot of frustration, a lot of angst out there, but I got to believe no one feels it any more than you. How are you feeling, Coach? How are you holding up to all of this?
Well, number one, Bob, I really love these players. And I think anybody that knows me knows how much I love my players. I think it's – and so I really just want it for them. You know, we can make these plays in the fourth quarter to get over this hump. We can do these things. I see them do it all the time. We're just in a little junction point right here where we've got to get it done. And somebody's got to do it first, and others will follow. And so don't worry about me. I mean, I am what I am, you know. But I love these players. I know how hard they're working. I know how hard that they keep doing what it takes to win. And I just want them to get that reward. And, you know, and so that's kind of where I'm at. That's where my focus is. That's where my heart is. That's where all my energy is. And is trying to put these young men in position to get it done for them.
Well, what is the feeling you get from them?
A lot of want to, and a lot of determination, and a lot of, you know, a lot of disappointment on Sunday and Monday, and then on Tuesday, a lot of resolve and a lot of persistence and a lot of want to get it done. And that's probably part of our issues is in the fourth quarter when it gets close, we press a little bit. You know, we want to make that play so bad, and sometimes we press, sometimes we get out of our gap, sometimes we try too hard, and instead of just trusting that we're one of 11 that's got to do it, we try to do it all by ourselves, And that's how, you know, to go back to Dima's question, it can avalanche on you a little bit. Our kids want to win so bad, and they want to do good so bad, and we haven't in so long that we're just pressing and a little bit overzealous at times instead of relaxing. And just, you know, there's a fine line between allowing the game to come to you and then making a play happen. There's always a fine line in that. And when you're in a situation like we are where it hasn't happened for you in some time and you want it to happen so bad, you just press and press and press a little bit.
Coach, I want to ask you a little bit. Something that we've never really talked with you about on Mondays is strength and conditioning. How do you think our guys are our guys matched well with some of these other teams as far as our physical strength and agility and all that, those sorts of things go?
We're strong, we're big, we've recruited well, we're good.
Okay. The other thing I want to ask you about is, because it's of course the $1 million question that we get is specifically Hardy, the running back for Louisiana Monroe, because I know there is a science to recruiting. You can't have everybody. I mean, and we've talked about this with our baseball coaches and so on, that even though kids are local, you can't have them all, right? So if you can't talk a little bit about the science, it's not that the Hardy kid wasn't good. It's just you had other guys ahead of him, or you know how that sort of thing works.
Yeah, so well, first off, all of our running backs are local, and second, well, they're all, you know, Mississippi kids. And second, we did offer the young man, and he ended up, I think, not wanting to sign in December. And we signed Jalen Washington in December. And I think you're going to see over time Jalen Washington's going to be a really good player as well. But I'm proud for Ahmad, man. I like him. He's a good kid, and he had a really good game versus us, and he's a really good player. But no, we recruited him, we wanted him, and he's just one we didn't get.
And again, you can't have them all. You can't sign them all.
That's right. And if I remember right during the recruiting process, you know, he wanted to be in a situation where he had a great opportunity to be the man right off the bat. And we had some good competition here. That was a new staff going in there. And they got a really – their running back coach, Roderick Fobbs, man, I've coached with him, did a good job recruiting him. But, no, we knew Ahmad was a good player. We offered him. I think we were the first one to offer him. But you're not going to get them all. And he's done a good job for him. And I'm really hated to see him do so good versus us. But I love the kid, love his family, and happy to see him having a good career.
You got the Red Wolves coming in this weekend, 3-3. What are your first thoughts publicly against the Red Wolves?
Good quarterback, obviously, had his coming out party versus us. Throws a really good deep ball, can move around, true dual threat guy. They've been consistent at the defensive coordinator position in Coach Jones's tenure there, so they're the same. They do a really good job playing their quarters-based defense. They really understand their assignments and what they're doing. They're good in the kicking game. They always have been. They're 3-3. They've beaten South Alabama. They've lost to Texas State in league. They beat Tulsa. They played two Power Fives and lost to both of them. So they're a football team that's 1-1 in conference. We're 0-2 in conference. So it's going to be a huge swing game for both of us. I mean, both of our backs are against the wall from conference play standpoint and really need a win.
You guys just have struggled putting points on the board. The offensive side of the ball has really struggled putting points on the board. Coach, take us through two or three bullet points as to, you know, offensively, what are top priorities?
Well, number one, we finally got our run game going. We'd like to continue that. We would like to continue to mold the system around Ethan now that he's back healthy. And continue to focus on doing the things that he can do. We've got to make plays in the passing game. We have been doing that. We didn't do that last week. We've got to read it correctly, make the throw. We got to catch it, you know. And then third down, you know. So continue to mold it around Ethan. Get our passing game going like it can be, and then third down, you know, staying on the field, making those plays on third down to stay on the field, I think are the the three things, man, if we could do all three of those things, I think we could really bust open and get this thing going.
Generally speaking, Coach, on third down conversions, what's an acceptable percentage? I mean, obviously you want 100%, but what's a more realistic percentage for any college football team on third down conversions?
Well, if you go overall, you know, overall, all third downs consolidated, if you get to 45%, you know, you're going to be in a good situation right
okay.
there. You know, leading our conference right now, Lafayette's leading our conference at 48.5% in third down conversions.
Okay.
So if you get to 45, you're playing high, high-level football. You know, obviously you're going to be better at third and short than you are at third and long.
Sure.
The key to being good on third down is have as many third and mediums and third and short and as little amount of third and longs as you can have.
Going back to what you're talking about with Ethan, is it safe to assume he's the starter from now on?
Yes, he's the starter.
Okay.
He'll start this week.
Okay.
But, and is he close to 100%, Coach? You look for him to be 100% Saturday?
He's going to be close. He's going to be close. I don't want to say right now on a Monday that he's going to be 100%, but he's going to be close, and he's going to be much closer to 100% than he was this past week.
Well, I will say this. Earlier this year, I had a chance to meet him and his parents, outstanding family. And, gosh, if you get around him, you can't help but cheer for that kid. I mean, he's a really good one. All right, Coach, homecoming weekend, you expect folks to be here from really everywhere that will come back for homecoming. Anything you'd like to say to the Golden Eagle Nation before we let you go today?
Yeah, these kids are fighting. I know everybody's disappointed, but these kids are fighting. And, man, we got a lot of local kids come and support them. And they're working extremely hard to deliver the product and deliver the result that everybody really wants and that everybody should get, you know. And they're putting everything they got into it. And so if you get an opportunity, come support them, and because they would love – for you to be there and to watch them play.
Hey, Coach, did you take Rebecca to Amory homecoming?
You talking about when we were in high school?
Yeah.
Well, to the homecoming dance. She was the homecoming queen.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
See, that's the kind of thing Kelly would know nothing about, Coach,
right.
Being with an attractive
Does
woman.
Does that shock you, Kelly? That shouldn't shock you, should it?
Well, no, but Bob made a good point. You know, the fact that anybody I know that would get to date a homecoming queen, you know, I just usually get a face full of mace. But, good for you.
All right, Coach. Thanks for joining us every Monday, Coach. We'll talk to you next
guys,
Monday.
I always appreciate you guys. To the top.
All right, Coach Will Hall, everybody. Where did that come from? Did you take Rebecca to the homecoming?
Well, so I mean, because I knew they were high school sweethearts. I mean, I figured they probably...
Did you ever take a girl to the homecoming dance?
Yeah, Shelly Cordero, as a matter of fact.
Oh, God, I think I opened up a door here.
Well, no, she was actually voted most likely to conceive.
Goodbye.
Jeez.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
4th Street Bar Grill sponsors this segment of the program right there in the shadow of the rock. Great lunch venue, great dinner venue, all the big games. Guaranteed Monday Night Football will be on the TVs tonight at 4th Street Bar and Grill. All right, don't forget about Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page. They have new toppings every week. Every month, I should say, for their delicious beignets and hot coffees and cold coffees and just fun going to Mobay Beignet.
And what you do is you take your freshly made beignet, you know, because they don't make them until you order them. So they can't get any fresher than that.
Uh-huh.
And they're like little pillows, and you tear off the corner of one of those little pillows. Then you take your sauce and you pour it into that little opening right there.
Yeah. Oh. All right, are you going to take him on in a beignet eating contest? I'll set it up.
I don't want any sauce in my beignets.
No, you ain't got to have no sauce. Well, you do.
Why would you want sauce in your beignet?
But you're too young. You wouldn't even understand.
Yeah. But, like, yeah. That just offsets the flavor.
I would agree.
What sauce is it?
That's a different chocolate? One every month. Like, they have chocolate, strawberry, raspberry.
The buttercream is always really good.
Yeah. Are you going to do it? You're not answering me. Yes or no?
I'll do a regular beignet challenge, no sauce. Right.
Are you up for it, Sander?
Of course.
All right. Lee, could you be the official of that event for us? Lee Roberts, could you maybe oversee that for us if we set it up?
I will. I would definitely. I would love to, as long as I get my share of beignets.
Yes,
well, I don't want to be included. I don't want to be included in the contest, but I would like to have a beignet.
You would be
I'm
the
a
can
fan.
You, can you call it
I'm
for
a
us?
Fan of Mobe. Yeah.
Play
I'm
by
a fan
play.
Of Mobe beignet.
Would you do the play by play?
All right. The buttercream icing is really good. Yeah. Really good.
All right. So you'll do the play by play, right?
You got it.
I'll tell you what, Lee. I'll do the play by play. You do the color analysis. And we'll.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough.
All right, Lee Roberts, obviously a very good friend of all of ours.
And now he's going to do the color analysis. I'm not required to do a urine analysis ahead of time.
No. We don't want to know nothing about that.
Okay, all
right. About that. Lee joins us every Monday. He may not after that comment, but I think he's used to Kelly. So I'm just amazed he hadn't just stomped you in the ground at least a half a dozen times. I thought maybe he was about to, but no, he's a nice guy.
I've got way too much dirt on Lee Roberts.
He's a nice guy. Lee Roberts, I know that, I know this is frustrating for you. It's frustrating for us. It's difficult, really, to, you know, it's difficult to deal with it every week. Just your thoughts. I mean, what's going to have to happen to get the guys to snap out of this?
You know, first of all, just on the frustration part, I mean, yes, I am. I know the fans are. I hate the share on social media. I just hate the way it is. Because the coaching staff, I mean, they're frustrated. These players are frustrated. And it's not like they're not going to work every day. It's not like they're not going to practice. They're putting in the time. They're trying to make this right. They want to win. And, man, I hope it. At some point, maybe this weekend will be that time. So, you know, to snap out of this, I mean, I wish it would be as simple as that. You can snap and get these guys back rolling. And I think what you have to do is you have to focus on everything positive. And I think the first positive is, you know, Ethan Crawford at quarterback. I mean, he gives a spark at quarterback because of his ability to run. He's going to make some plays outside the pocket. No, he didn't look like a superstar passing the football. But I think we had some drops too, you know. So I think if you could just eliminate the mistakes, I mean, every game there's going to be mistakes, but we have too many mistakes, whether it be on defense or offense, and we have to eliminate those and cut those in half just to start. You know, I think Coach Hall mentioned that, hey, this was 2 weeks in a row now we've been in this ball game late in the third quarter, early part of the fourth quarter, one score game, and we just kind of fall apart. And you just got to figure out a way to get over that hump. I mean, we're a really good three-quarter football team. We just got to be four-quarters strong. And whatever reason that is, I'm not really sure. But at some point, hopefully, something good with this will happen to this team, and that'll give them something to build on. I was really hoping it'd be Ethan Crawford this weekend. But again, you can see a little bit of life. I know he's not 100% healthy. And, you know, when he is, I think he's going to be very dangerous. And maybe this weekend will be the one.
Lee, I asked Coach Hall this, and I wanted to ask you the same question. Everybody had their version of how this season would go for Southern Miss football, and even some people on the lower end of win totals thought that they would be competitive up to this point. You know, I remember after the Southeastern Louisiana game, it was kind of like, yeah, it wasn't the best game, but, you know, that's where we all expected them to be, 1-1. But as I'm sitting here today on October whatever it is this the 14th, I'm just kind of stunned that it's been this bad. I mean, I knew that it would be a struggle for Southern Miss to win against South Florida. I didn't expect them to get blown out by Jacksonville State by any means. But, I mean, I'm just stunned that we're sitting here at 1 and they're sitting there at 1-5 and virtually non-competitive in almost every game.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit of a stun. It's a shocker. It's more frustrating, too, just because you do think that you have built a roster and you've built a squad that can go and compete. And again, I mean, you know, Coach Vincent proved at Monroe that, hey, you can turned the tables overnight by bringing in 73 new players. And that's exactly what they have, but they've believed in this program. And I think that's what Coach Hall's, again, in his fourth year, trying to get this team to do. And I know they believe in him, but it's just they've got to go execute. They've got to go make plays. And it is frustrating. It's big-time frustrating for sure.
Lee, offensively, has been more glaring than defensive. They just up to this point, the Eagles have just been inept on offense. And lots of times coaches will say, well, we're just going to have to go back to the basics. Is that what you do now? Is just go back to a simpler, you know, offense? I don't even know that the plays that are being called are, you know, overly complex. I've never played football or coached football, but where do you go? Where do you go to try to simplify things for the offense to get some degree of success?
Well, I know everybody when they watch Southern Miss football, you know, they're looking at the line, they're looking at the backs. Hey, are they opening up holes? Are they protecting the quarterback? And, you know, for a quarterback to be successful, you've got to be able to run the football, and you've got to be able to protect the quarterback when he's passing the football. But it's not always the offensive line's fault, and it's not always the running back's fault. There's 11 guys playing. I mean, a quarterback, and now that Ethan's playing, he's a guy that really can kind of be that 12th guy as well, because you've got to account for him in the running game, and he gets outside the pocket. He can make some plays happen. Try to make it basic. Try to make it simple. But, again, bottom line is you've got to have 11 guys doing their job, and it's not just really one position. A quarterback can make a wrong read, and it looks like, you know, the offensive line didn't do their job. You know, a wide receiver or a tight end doesn't block in the flat, and it looks like we don't get open in the wide receiver position. And again, it's kind of a deception thing, a deception issue, because, you know, one guy's position really is going to affect the other. And you got to have them working in sync, and that they're just not doing that right now.
Yeah, it takes 11 at one time doing what they're supposed to do, and it seems like 9 or 10 guys might be doing what they're supposed to do, but any different play, it could be two different guys that aren't doing what they're supposed to do, and it just, you know, puts a wrinkle in the whole mess.
You know, it is, and if you got a tall sweep to the right and the receiver on the far left says, hey, I'm not going to block, that seems like it's one thing, but, you know, the one or two guys that don't do their job each play is the one that affects that play. It just seems like it's been that way all season long, and so it just makes it extra important. And these guys know they're not taking plays off, but, you know, again, getting beat on a play is one thing. And, you know, we've gone against really good players and, you know, unfortunately some really good defenses, and Monroe was no different. And, you know, I think Arkansas State coming in, they're going to be another team that's hungry, that wants to come in and, you know, spoil a homecoming. They're a team that wants to get above 500 as well and, you know, try to finish and have a great season. But I don't think there's anybody that's any hungrier than this team right now for Southern Miss.
All right, because Coach Hall just told us that Ethan Crawford is the starting quarterback moving forward. Two-part question, does that surprise you? And number two, what will be the advantage of this kid being on the field full-time moving forward?
I like Ethan Crawford a lot. I liked him at the end of last year. I thought he brought a spark to this team. Again, he was a guy that came off an injury his senior year in high school, and so it took him a little while last year to really get going, but I thought he finished well. You know, then you bring in a transfer guy, quarterback, and you think that's going to be the guy, and it just doesn't work out. Ethan has proved that he's the guy. You know, I could tell last Saturday on the field, although he didn't play, just the way he carried himself, his energy, his enthusiasm, his leadership, the guys just really gravitate to him. And, you know, I'm so glad they made the move, and again, nothing against Tate Rodemaker. But Ethan is a very talented guy, a guy that's going to make plays with his legs. He's got an arm that is very lively. He also could hurt you at times as well, just because he may try to make a play that's not there. But I think he's going to make more plays for you than against you. Again, Saturday, just not overly impressive throwing the football. But if I remember correctly, he was our leading rusher as well. And, you know, kind of a really good spark in the running game. He did. He had 70 yards rushing. So it just makes the defense put an extra guy in the box to account for the quarterback. And this league, I think a dual threat quarterback will help your team a lot more. And that's what Ethan's going to do for us.
All right, man, we really appreciate it. I'm going to work on this showdown, and you're going to come do the color for us, correct?
All right, you let me know. It'll be fun.
All right. We appreciate you, my man.
I appreciate you guys, too.
All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank Lee Roberts for joining us every Monday. Joy Lee McNellis scheduled to be on the show tomorrow, get a preview of women's basketball, and we're going to try to catch up with Luke Johnson before he leaves town. He'll be out for a while, but looking forward to that. All right, Dima, you said during the break, you put out a startling statistic. Let me.
Well, this is credit to Scott Watkins and his article, because I was reading it over the weekend and I wrote some notes down. So credit to him for finding these stats. But from his work on the Sun Herald, Southern Miss on third downs. That's something we've talked about a lot. Kelly mentioned it to Coach. We mentioned it to Lee. This just gives you an idea of how bad they really are on third downs. Okay. They are the worst team in the country in third down conversions. In the whole country, they're ranked 134. That's last place out of 134 teams. 134 out of 134. 11 first downs on third downs this season. So 11 third down conversions overall. Just 11.
So, and that's in five games?
Six games. 11.
So that's not even two a game.
That's right. And to make it worse, they've not converted a single second half third down against an FBS opponent this season. I mean, that's just astonishing numbers. And then we talked about the offense and how, just as Kelly said it, inept they've been. And they're averaging right now 16.7 points a game. And if that holds true at this end of the season, which it probably won't because it fluctuates, but let's just say it ends the season at 16.7. That would be a worse scoring average than the 2021 season, which was Hall's first year where they went through 20-something quarterbacks. That would be worse scoring than the 2012 winless team in Ellis Johnson's tenure. And that would be the fewest since 1990. And that team actually won 8 games. So it's astonishing offensive numbers from a team that, coming into the season, we thought they would have some question marks on the wide receiver core. We thought there were some question marks maybe on who would provide them the yards, but we thought that Chip Long and this offense could really figure it out and at least be competitive in a lot of these games. And the offense, I mean, can we just say it, is bad.
Right. Well, I think another thing, too, that we haven't said on this show, and I do get the head guy accepts the responsibility. That's in every line of work, right? But these two new coordinators need to accept some responsibility. The truth is the offense is just not very good, and the defense has given up a lot of points. Some of the responsibility needs to go on these coordinators, Kelly said.
But Will Hall's the type of guy where the buck stops with him, and he hired those guys, and you know he's ultimately the head of the program, and that's why those guys make the big bucks.
Yeah.
Although Dima did mention Ellis Johnson.
Right.
And I don't think that's
your Well, I'm going to tell you another, and I don't mind saying it, I'm told another highly paid member of the coaching staff is the offensive line coach. Really?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't looked – Really? You know, coming into the season, I sat on the show, and I'll take responsibility for it, thinking that this might be the best offensive line that Will Hall's put on the field, and they haven't looked apart. There's so many things that coming into the beginning of the season, and that's why I said it, and I want to get some news and notes here in a second, but there's so many things that the perception of the season, that coming into the season, we were not only told by this administration, but we also just saw on the practice field. And that's why I keep bringing up this word shocked, because everybody had their version of how they would go at this point. Some people had them 3-2 or 3-3, 2-4 seemed like the worst case scenario, but they're sitting here at 1-5, almost virtually non-competitive in almost every game outside of probably Louisiana. So that's just what's just unbelievably shocking, I think, for me. But I wanted to get news and notes, and we'll shift gears here to basketball as the preseason coaches poll came out today for Sun Belt coaches poll for Southern Miss basketball. Southern Miss had an all Sun Belt third team player, and that was Andre Curbelo, preseason all Sun Belt. He's the guard, obviously graduate from Puerto Rico. Curbelo getting onto the list for the all conference team, all conference third team. And Southern Miss finished fifth in the coaches poll. With 133 points, that is 11 behind Louisiana, which we also had some breaking Sun Belt news regarding the Cajuns in basketball, as their first team selection, Hosanna Kittinge, I'm probably butchering his last name, that was just selected to be the first team, is out for the season, just breaking as of 20 minutes ago or so. So yeah. Maybe the Cajuns, big loss there for the Cajuns, and Southern Miss, in all due respect, seems to be in position to put some effort into the basketball team. But again, as we say every single year, it really doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. You got to be good in Pensacola.
Right. You have to win that tournament or you're not going to the big dance.
One more football note before we leave. This weekend is really important. Obviously, it's homecoming. Arkansas State, maybe a winnable game. The next three games after that, at James Madison, Marshall here, at Texas State. Need to win Saturday night.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. And keep in mind, it's supposed to be a cool but sunny day if the weather forecast holds. And homecoming is always a special time on campus. I know a lot of the alums, you know, will come back and try to, you know, and Will Hall said, you know, come out here and cheer for these kids. You know, the kids are continuing to work hard. It's tough for everybody.
All right, Damon, you want to end the show on a positive note?
Who was number one, by the way, in the preseason?
Arkansas State.
Was number one?
Number one.
Let me guess, James Madison was in the top five.
They were number two.
James damn Madison.
Okay, there you go.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future. Time keeps on slipping. Into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.